All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're taking a look at a case that, it's kind of a big one, at least in the world of digital copyright. I'm talking about Field v. Google Inc. back in 2006.
Yeah, Field v. Google, definitely a case that all law students out there should know pretty well. You know, it really shaped how we think about copyright online, especially when you start dealing with, search engines and the whole internet ecosystem.
Okay, so just to set the stage a bit, we're dealing with a question that I think a lot of people probably have thought about at some point. Can a search engine like Google actually be held responsible for copyright infringement? I mean, just because it does things like, caching web pages that are out there for everyone to see anyway.
Right. And in this case, we had Blake Field. He was an attorney and also an author. And he decided to sue Google because he was arguing that when Google made those cached copies of his work, it was infringing on his copyright.
So it sounds kind of, straightforward, maybe at first glance. Someone makes a copy of your work and they don't really have your permission. But here's the thing that I find fascinating about this whole case. Google, they didn't just win. They won on five separate legal grounds. And that's what we're going to break down today. It's like this crash course in why the court ultimately decided to side with Google. And I think a big takeaway here is that the court was really focused on this idea of volitional conduct, meaning did Google really intend to infringe or was it just, part of how their system worked?
Yeah, and going through these five reasons why the court went with Google, it's not just some, law school exam thing.
Yeah.
It's really about seeing how these traditional legal ideas actually work when you apply them to the internet, which is kind of this, it's a different beast sometimes.
All right, so let's lay it all out. What exactly was going on here that ended up with everyone in court?
Well, the key details really come down to what Blake Field did, or maybe didn't do, I guess you could say. He had all these writings, 51 of them, copyrighted works, all up on his website, which anyone could access. Now, Google, they've got their web crawler, Google bot going around doing its thing, indexing sites. And part of that is making these cached versions of pages. So that's how Google can give you those cached links you sometimes see in search results.
Right. And those are the links that basically give you a snapshot of a page, even if the live version is down or maybe it's changed since Google last looked at it, right?
Exactly. And And here's a point that the court really focused on. Blake Field, he wasn't, some random guy when it came to websites. Being a lawyer, especially one involved in tech, he knew about things like no archive meta tags and the whole robots.txt file. These are like the standard ways for telling search engines like, hey, don't cache my stuff.
Yeah.
But Field, he didn't use any of these tools. So the court basically saw that as, kind of giving Google the okay. It's like in the digital world, if you don't say no in the way everyone understands, it could be taken as a yes.
Interesting. So he didn't put up any of those keep out signs, so to speak.
Exactly. And then he turns around and sues Google for a pretty big chunk of change. We're talking $2.5 million. But here's the thing. He never actually said that Google cost him any money. I mean, his works were already online free to read. So his argument was purely about Google making copies, even though those copies were, essentially doing the same thing as the originals, letting people read his stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got an author who knows how to tell Google not to cache his site, doesn't do it, and then sues for a lot of money without actually saying he lost anything. That's our setup. And then the court looks at all this and breaks it down into five legal questions. What were those again?
Right. So they were really looking at this from all angles. First, they asked, okay, is this caching thing even direct copyright infringement?
Mm-hmm.
Then, could you say that Field actually gave Google a license to cache his stuff just by, not stopping them? Third, is there something called estoppel that would basically stop Field from saying his copyright was infringed on?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the big one, number four, does all this fall under fair use? And lastly, did Google have any protection under the DMCA? That's the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. So that was their list.
And like we said, Google won on all five counts. That's a pretty decisive win. So let's go through each of these and see how the court got there. Starting with that first one, direct infringement. Why did the court say that Google caching these pages wasn't infringement?
Well, a big part of it was how the court looked at what Google was actually doing. They said it wasn't volitional, meaning Google wasn't like going out of its way to copy Field's work just to, make a bunch of copies. It was more like the caching was automatic, just part of how their search engine does its thing, responding to searches, indexing pages, all that.
It's more of a side effect, not some intentional copying spree.
Right. The court saw it as a passive process. Someone searches, Google shows results, and sometimes that includes those cached versions. This actually ties into what's called the server test in law. Basically, if you're not the one actually storing the infringing content, like on your own servers, then you're not as likely to be seen as directly infringing. And in this case, Fields' writings were still on his server. Google was just, you know, providing a link to a snapshot.
I see. So it's a big difference between just linking to something and actually, you know, hosting a copy on your own system. Okay, makes sense. Now, what about that second point, implied license? How did the court decide that Field kind of gave Google permission without actually saying anything?
This all goes back to what we talked about before, Field knowing about those standard web tools. The court said that because he knew about robots.txt and those meta tags, and he chose not to use them, it's like he was saying, yeah, go ahead and catch my site. It's all about established practices online. If you don't use the tools everyone knows about to say no, it can look like you're saying yes.
Like if there's this well-known way of opting out of something and you don't do it, you can't really complain later.
Right, exactly. The court basically said his silence was him giving the okay.
Okay, so on to number three, estoppel. What is that exactly and how did it apply here?
So estoppel is kind of tricky, but basically it's like this. If you do something that makes someone else reasonably believe something is true, and they act based on that belief, you can't later come back and say, nope, that wasn't true after all.
Yeah.
In this case, Field knew Google cached websites. He didn't stop them. Google kept doing it. A court said it'd be unfair to let Field suddenly change his mind and sue, especially since Google was just doing what it always did and what Field seemed okay with.
So by not opting out, he kind of lost his right to say it was wrong later on.
Right. It's like trying to change the rules of the game after it's already started. Now, the fourth reason, fair use. This is a big one, especially online. How did the court apply that to Google's caching?
Yeah, fair use always seems to be at the heart of a lot of these internet cases.
Definitely. And the court went through all those classic fair use factors, one by one. First, the purpose of the use. And they said Google's caching, it wasn't just copying for the sake of copying. It was transformative. Like, it let people see pages even when they were down or see old versions, which could be important. It was serving a new purpose.
Right. Not just a straight duplicate, but a copy with a new function. Makes sense.
Exactly. Now, the second factor is about the nature of the copyrighted work. The court said, yeah, Field's writings are creative, which usually goes against fair use. But since they were already free online, that point wasn't as strong. It's like they weren't some big secret he was trying to keep under wraps.
Okay, and then there's the third factor, how much of the work was used. And Google was caching the entire web pages, right? So that seems like a lot.
It was, but the court said, well, to make the cache work, to give people that snapshot, you need the whole page.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a lot, but it was necessary for the caching to do its job.
I see. It's all about context. And then the final fair use factor is about whether the copying actually hurts the market for the original work. And like we said, Field didn't really claim any financial harm.
Exactly. And the court agreed. There was no evidence that Google's caching was hurting Field in any way. I mean, his stuff was already free online. If anything, the court even hinted that maybe caching could help him by, you know, sending more people to his website. It's like with parody, sometimes it's okay to copy a whole work if it's doing something new and not trying to replace the original.
So Google using it in a new way, plus no harm to Field's work, all pointed towards fair use. Okay, so that's four down. Let's talk about that last reason Google won, that DMCA safe harbor. What is that all about and how did it help Google?
So the DMCA, it has these parts called safe harbors that are meant to protect websites and platforms from getting sued for copyright infringement as long as they do certain things. One of these safe harbors is specifically for caching. And to be protected, these platforms can't mess with those standard tools creators use to protect their work, like robots.txt. Plus, they have to take down stuff if someone says it's infringing.
And Google did all that, right?
Yep. The court said they had a system for removing cached stuff if they got a notice. And they respected those standard tools, which Field didn't even use. The DMCA is all about encouraging everyone to play by the same rules online. By not using those tools, Field made it harder to say that Google did something wrong.
Gotcha. So basically, if you want to control what happens to your work online, you got to use the tools everyone agrees on.
Precisely. So there you have it. All five reasons why Google won that case. No direct infringement because their system was automated. Implied license because Field didn't object. Estoppel because it would be unfair to let him sue later. Fair use, because Google's purpose was different and wasn't hurting Field. And finally, the DMCA, protecting Google's caching, as long as they follow the rules.
So we really went through a lot there, but I think it's clear that Field v. Google is a pretty important case for figuring out how copyright works on the internet. It's about finding that balance between protecting creators and letting the internet, actually function.
It is. Field de Google really set the stage for how courts would look at these types of cases. And it shows just how important it is for the law to consider, how technology actually works and how people actually use it.
Okay, so for all our listeners out there who are in law school, grinding away, getting ready for their legal careers, what are the big lessons from Field v. Google that they should really take to heart?
There are a few big ones. First off, those opt-out tools, things like robots.txt and meta tags, they're not just, technical details. They can actually have real legal consequences. If you don't use them, it can be seen as giving permission.
Yeah, right. So you got to be proactive in protecting your stuff online.
Exactly. Second lesson, fair use is still relevant, even in the digital world. It's all about context. Even if you copy a whole work, if you're using it in a new way for a new purpose and not hurting the original, it might be okay. And Field v. Google is a great example of how courts look at that.
And lastly, that DMCA safe harbor. It's a shield for platforms, but it comes with responsibilities. They have to follow the rules, and creators have to do their part too by using those standard tools.
Right. Understanding the DMCA is key for anyone working with online platforms or representing creators. It's about keeping the internet functioning while also making sure everyone's rights are protected.
Well, I think we covered a lot of ground today. Field v. Google, it's not just some old case, it's still shaping how we think about copyright in our increasingly digital world.
Absolutely. It's a case that will continue to be relevant for a long time.
So before we wrap things up, here's something for everyone to think about. The internet is always changing, right? We've got social media, AI, all these new ways of creating and sharing stuff. So how would the rules from Field v. Google apply to these new technologies? Would they hold up? Or would we need new rules entirely? It's a question worth considering as you move forward in your legal studies and careers.
It is. The legal landscape is always adapting to new technologies.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.